also expressed his appreciation to Indian President Draupadi Murmu for the official invitation from the Indian government to visit the country. The president called it a great honor, especially since he became an important guest in the celebration of the Republic Day of India. The Indonesian Ministry of Defense launched the educational tour of Lorong Sejarah or Historical Hallway for the public in Jakarta on Saturday. Head of the Defense Information Bureau of Secretary General of the Ministry of Defense, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Imkiriwang, in a press statement to the media at the opening of the Lorong Sejarah educational tour at the Ministry of Defense in Jakarta on Saturday, conveyed that this was expected to be able to provide broad access for the public to find out the struggles of the Indonesian people as a great and sovereign nation.
Ya, jadi memang Lorong Sejarah Kemhan ini diinisiasi oleh Presiden Prabowo.
So, the Ministry of Defense's Lorong Sejarah or Historical Hallway was initiated by President Prabowo when he served as Minister of Defense, which was only an office. He initiated by completing it with artifacts when historical data on the struggle of the Indonesian nation from 1945 to the last contemporary one until 2019. Of course, because he has a special interest in history, with the struggle of this nation, the goal is also to educate. Furthermore, Brigadier General Frega Wenas Imkiriwang pointed out that Minister of Defense Syafri Samsudin made a policy so that the Lorong Sejarah could be accessed by the public. He also explained that in addition to the Lorong Sejarah, the Indonesian Ministry of Defense also holds static displays of domestic defense equipment production vehicles, such as Maung vehicles, armor vehicles, and others in every event. The Indonesian Marine Security Agency stated that the maritime security is carried out in an effort to crack down on crimes in the Indonesian waters and prioritizes cooperation between coast guards. Head of the Subdirectorate of Planning and Evaluation of Marine Operation of the Indonesian Marine Security Agency, Colonel Budi Yuzerman, said that after conducting a joint patrol exercise with the Japan Coast Guard in Jakarta waters Friday, he also said that the cooperation was sought in the hope that the handling would be more peaceful and controlled, while the use of the Coast Guard is increasingly prioritized in handling maritime security. He also emphasized that the cooperation between the coast guards of both countries to date is very good. It is proved by the holding of the joint exercise and the plan to grant a patrol boat by the Japan Coast Guard to the agency. It was meant to improve the ability of the Indonesian Coast Guard to carry out maritime security in Indonesia's national territory and in the Southeast Asia region. The governments of Indonesia and India signed a Memorandum of Understanding in the field of digital development on Friday. It was signed by the Indonesian Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Mutia Hafid, and Indian Minister of Electronics and Information Technology, Jitin Prasada. This cooperation was signed on the sidelines of Minister Mutia Hafid accompanying President Prabowo Subianto on a visit to India from January the 24th until 26th to attend the commemoration of India's 76th Republic Day. She affirmed that the Memorandum of Understanding aims at strengthening bilateral relations in the digital sector of both countries in terms of technology and human resources. It covers several areas of cooperation, including the development of new technologies, artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things, and public digital infrastructure. Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, Edi Suparno, encourages the implementation of carbon trading in Indonesia to increase state revenues. He supports carbon trading policies to collaborate in order to realize a clean and healthy environment. In a written statement in Jakarta Friday, he explained that the implementation of carbon trading in Indonesia, after being inaugurated some time ago, can immediately run and have a positive impact on state revenues, because it doesn't require infrastructure development as well as building factories or industries. It's enough with regulations and policy only. He also stated that Indonesia has the largest carbon storage potential in the region, up to 600 gigatons per year. In addition, Indonesia is also within economic distance of carbon-producing countries such as Singapore, Japan, and South Korea. He added that he is optimistic that carbon trading will become a new sustainable economic pillar for Indonesia. The Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries collaborates with the British government to improve the quality of marine conservation area management. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Sakti Wahyu Trenggono, in a statement in Jakarta on Friday, said conservation area management is important to do together because it is related to the absorption of carbon emissions, which is the main trigger of climate change. He further said that the British government's support is proven through the launch of the Blue Planet Fund Country Plan program in Jakarta to support sustainable management of conservation areas and fisheries natural resources in Indonesia. He viewed that Indonesia has a blue economy policy to ensure marine protection, reduce pressure from fisheries activities, regulate the utilization of coastal areas and small islands, and address marine pollution. The Indonesian Space Association stated that it is ready to strengthen Indonesia's position and strategic role in the international space industry. Chairperson of the Indonesian Space Association, Adi Rahman Adiwoso, in a statement in Jakarta on Saturday, explained that with the rapid development of technological innovation, Indonesia must have a strong commitment to increasing the capabilities and capacity of space technology in order to compete in the global space industry. Therefore, Indonesia can move forward from its position as a user of space. Now it has the ability to produce and launch space technologies. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Solo, Central Java. The Kasunanan Surakarta Hadiningrat Palace in Solo, Central Java was scheduled to hold a Jumenengan Dalem or commemoration of the accession to the throne of Pakubuwono XIII with a procession this weekend. Gusti Dipo, an official of the palace, said on Tuesday that what is different this year is that the ceremony, which began on Saturday, January the 25th, will end with a procession on Sunday, which is part of the development of preserving palace traditions. He explained that this was in accordance with the mission of the Ministry of Tourism related to cultural attractions. The next news comes from Pontianak, Kalimantan. The Library and Archives Service of West Kalimantan Province exhibited 600 historical collections at an archive exhibition entitled United in Harmony, Realizing Advanced, Prosperous, and Sustainable West Kalimantan. Head of the Library and Archives Service, Sugeng Haryadi, in Pontianak Tuesday said, the historical collections displayed had high historical value, starting from the journey of the formation of West Kalimantan Province, profiles of governors and deputy governors from time to time, the Mandor tragedy, to archives from the Sultanate and regional autonomy eras. He emphasized the importance of archives as a window to history and the nation's collective memory, where the collections displayed are not only informative, but also educational. In addition to textual archives, this exhibition also displayed photo archives, ancient maps, and other important documents. one of the main attractions was the travel aircraft of Vedrick Leonardo, a rock climbing athlete from West Kalimantan who won a gold medal at the 2024 Paris Olympics. He also hoped that the exhibition, which took place on Thursday, January the 23rd, would not only be an attraction, but also a means of education to raise public awareness of the importance of archives in maintaining the cultural identity and history of the region. The latest news from Solo City, Central Java. Sio lanterns to gods and goddesses installed along Jalan Jenderal Sudirman, Solo City, Central Java Province, enliven this year's Chinese New Year celebration. Chairman of the Joint Committee for Chinese New Year 2025, Solo City, Sumartono Hadinoto, in Solo Sunday said that there were a total of 5,000 lanterns installed in front of Surakarta City Hall to the Pasar Gede area. The lanterns installed on the central streets of Solo also had models of Sio lanterns, gods and goddesses, and Laughing Buddha. As a series of Chinese New Year celebrations, his party also supports the Kirab Grebek Sudiro celebration, which will be held on January the 26th. On January the 28th, or Chinese New Year's Eve, there will be a fireworks show. That was news from across Indonesia.
Today in history with January 25th, which is remembered as Military Academy Cadets Day. This day is observed to honor the struggle of Indonesian soldiers during the Lengkong Battle on January 25th, 1946. According to kemhan.go.id, dozens of cadets from the Tangerang Military Academy, Indonesia's first military academy, went to the Japanese army base in Lengkong village. Led by Major Daan Mogot, they tried to disarm the Japanese soldiers to take their weapons. The negotiations with the Japanese army, led by Captain Abe, were done by Major Daan Mogot, Major Wibowo, and a cadet from the Tangerang Military Academy. The talk started smoothly, but suddenly gunshots and machine gun fire broke out, leading to an uneven battle. This resulted in the deaths of 34 cadets and 3 Indonesian National Army officers, including Major Daan Mogot, Lieutenant Subianto, and Lieutenant Sutopo. To remember this event, January 25th is celebrated as Military Academy Cadets Day. Let's move on to January 25th about National Nutrition Day. January 25th is observed in Indonesia as National Nutrition Day. This day is meant to raise awareness about the importance of nutrition in food. National Nutrition Day began to mark the founding of the Indonesian Food Educator School on January 25th, 1951. Since then, nutrition education has grown rapidly in many universities across Indonesia. The first National Nutrition Day was organized by the People's Food Institute in the 1960s. Since then, it has been celebrated every January 25th. We end the program with 1971 about Idi Amin becoming the president of Uganda. General Idi Amin Dada Ome was the military leader of Uganda, ruling from January 25, 1971 to April 13, 1979. When Amin took power, Uganda became famous around the world. In August 1972, all British citizens of Asian descent were given 90 days to leave Uganda. This action was not about racism, but Amin's ways of giving true independence to the people of Uganda. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia. Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia and Australia discuss cooperation on halal products. Indonesian Ministry of Trade and Global Australian Halal Certification discussed opportunities for cooperation in increasing the competitiveness of Indonesian halal products in the Australian market. This discussion was held at an audience between Indonesian Minister of Trade, Budi Santoso, and the Australian side on Thursday, January the 23rd, at the Ministry of Trade Office, Jakarta. In the meeting, Minister Budi Santoso said the halal product market in Australia is growing promisingly, and Indonesian halal products must be able to compete in this growing market. In addition, the Ministry of Trade is committed to increasing the competitiveness of halal products in the Australian market as part of efforts to encourage exports. Minister Budi Santoso explained efforts to increase the competitiveness of Indonesian halal products in the Australian market could be done through three ways. First, providing global standard halal certification with the aim of expanding export market access. Second, improving the competitiveness of micro, small and medium enterprises in meeting international halal standards. And third, supporting the marketing of micro, small and medium enterprises halal products in Indonesia and abroad. The minister said, Australia is the 18th destination country for Indonesian halal product exports. Over the past 5 years, from 2019 to 2023, the trend of Indonesian halal product exports to Australia has grown by 7.15% and its export value has reached more than $500 million in 2023. Meanwhile, the opportunity to export halal products in the global market is still quite promising. The trend in world demand for halal products shows positive growth of 9.13% with a projected world import value reaching almost $600 billion in 2024. Budi Santoso also said to encourage the export of Indonesian halal products, the Ministry of Trade has provided halal certification for cosmetic products and cosmetic ingredients for small and medium enterprises. Other efforts include facilitation at various cosmetic exhibitions as well as food and beverage products. Global Australian Halal Certification is one of the overseas halal institutions based in Australia. It is committed to supporting the growth of the halal industry globally and supporting the activities of the Indonesian diaspora in Australia. That was my Indonesia today.
Ujian hidup yang sanggup menepamu, yang berjuang untuk hidup yang hanya sementara. Rasa perih yang hujan di hatimu, yang diberikan oleh rasa yang hanya sementara. Kita hidup di dunia yang penuh tanda tanya, yang tak mungkin kau ubah.
for joining us the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Listener, Indonesia is rich of diversity. It can be seen by its various greenery from each region, which of course has its own speciality. First, Sulawesi, which is mostly inhabited by the Mandar tribe, like all the tribes in Indonesia, also has variety of appetizing culinary delights. One of them is kwikwi cake, which can regularly accompany your leisure time. Listener, kwikwi cake, the original cake of the Mandar tribe, can be easily found on the roadside in West Sulawesi. Its unique taste and affordable price are very attractive to culinary lovers. For culinary lovers who have not had the opportunity to visit West Sulawesi, they can try making it yourself. The ingredients needed to make this kwikwi cake are very simple. Just flour, young coconut, sugar, egg yolk, water, and salt to taste. To make it, first, mix the flour with egg yolk, then slowly add water while stirring until the mixture becomes thick. Afterwards, salt and sugar and stir evenly. Then you can add the grated young coconut and stir again and until evenly distributed. The dough must be made sure that it's not too thin so that it can rise well. Listener, after the dough is well mixed, heat the mold, then put the dough into the mold and close it. Just wait for the dough to rise perfectly, then remove and drain. Finally, sprinkle sugar on top of the kwikwi cake. This cake will be more delicious if served while it's still warm. Kwikwi cake is usually used as a morning snack or afternoon snack accompanied by warm tea or coffee. Listener, that's Indonesia Wonder for today edition. We'll see you again tomorrow with another more interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Sadar ku temukan wanita rupawan yang sadarkan, tiada seorang, tiada lain, tiada bukan, hanya dia. Dia buatku nyaman dalam hangat pelukan. Tiap rasa yang mengerti yang ku rasa, hanya dia. Kaku arung itu jelau samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang. Oh, penjaga hati, kau dan aku sempurna. Semoga ada cara untuk terus bersama. Selalu ku tunggu, tak mau berlalu. Kau dan aku, kaku arung itu jauh samudra, kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang, oh penjaga hatiku.
samudra. Kan ku daki pegunungan Himalaya. Apapun kan ku lakukan untuk dirimu sayang. Oh menjaga hatiku. Oh.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miscellany. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about Fahri Insan Hidayatullah and Muhammad Rafi Habibi, two Indonesian students from Madrasah Aliyah Negeri Man 1 Islamic State School in Pasuruan, East Java, won gold medals in the 2025 Open World Robotic Competition taking place at Multimedia University, Cyberjaya, Malaysia. They managed to become the best in the line follower category, a brilliant achievement that brought pride to Indonesia. The 2025 Open World Robotic Competition ran very tight. The knockout system required each participant to perform optimally from the first round. Both of them consistently performed calmly and focused. They revealed the great challenges they faced, where the slightest mistake could have fatal consequences. With precision and patience, Fahri and Rafi were able to control their robot with great precision, following the lines that the committee had prepared perfectly. The difficult moments where they were downed actually became a trigger for their enthusiasm to keep fighting until they finally managed to win first place and bring home a very proud gold medal. Listener, this achievement is a source of pride not only for Fahri and Rafi, but also for the entire Man 1 Pasuruan family. Support from the school, especially from the principal, Nasruddin, also played an important role in developing the potential of these two students. Their enthusiasm is now an inspiration for the next generation to continue to achieve. Without a doubt, this success proves that the young generation of Indonesia has the talent, toughness and competitiveness that is able to compete on the world stage. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. For still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, on this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Niscaya by Bilal Indrajaya, accompanied by the Gempo Gendis Keroncong Group. The song, created and popularized by Indonesian soloist Bilal Indrajaya, was released in 2021. When viewed from the lyrics, this song has a romantic meaning. Various sweet words are strung together into a beautiful word to listen to. This song is about a person's belief in his love, as if describing the feelings of someone who is drunk with romance and is in longing. It tells a story of a couple's love journey that has gone through ups and downs together. Because of his great love for his lover, he's helpless if he has to part with his lover, even if only for a short time, because he always feels longing. Well, listener, here is the keroncong version of Niscaya by Bilal Indrajaya and Gempo Gendis. Enjoy!
Thank you. semua takkan musnah, terlanjur abadi. Semua yang telah lalu takkan menggontai pilu. Semua tak terlupa, telah terukir nyata. Takkan pernah terubah untuk menepis bayangmu. Tak berdaya kesulianmu, meninggalkanmu
I'm
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
Radio Jiata, Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、惊喜和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率33255千赫和47555千赫。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRE Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。听众朋友你好，我们也在 Voice of Indonesia 播送的一个小时的华语节目相逢。今天是2025年1月25日星期六，周一的节目有新闻、印尼各地的消息、历史上的今天、印度尼西亚如何播送、印度尼西亚各种各样消息，以及娱乐在不说那印度尼西亚、印度尼西亚美丽和无言流逝，最后是为您播送印度尼西亚各局在布朗尼的节目。最后是为您播送印度尼西亚各局在布朗尼的节目。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻。
Voice of Indonesia， 等你。Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻。新闻提要：第一，印尼众议院加强与新加坡议会的关系。第二，罗山确认不有战略是印尼实现8%经济成熟的途径。第三，印尼总行邀请全球投资者来印尼投资。第四，国防部长计划在2025年底前让两艘frigate 梅拉布提护卫舰